Well, at least you're in the same room, you know. My wife signed it up here, you know.
Yeah. Well, they're actually...
She actually just texted me and said the Bible was for teachers didn't show up.
I want...
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah, I was wondering why. When I went to the bathroom, I was like, it's oddly quiet in Bible school.
Yeah,
and then when I was walking up, I looked at the door and I seen Brent.
He's covering right now, so...
All right.
All right. Who's going?
I don't know what's going on.
Go ahead, bro.
I got this.
All right, pray us in.
Oh, yeah, I can't wait to do the solo.
All right, pray us in. Go ahead.
Let the man do the solo.
Lord, thank you for everything you've given us, Lord. Thank you for bringing us here tonight, Lord. Thank you for giving us the opportunity to gather here, Lord. I just pray that you, that whatever Zach gives us, that we can use it each in our individual lives, Lord, and that it'll benefit us more than most things, Lord. Thank you for everything you've given us. In Jesus' name, amen.
I thought you were about to start speaking in tongues right there. I was like, whoa. This boy's getting Holy Spirit filled or something. All right. Turn to 292. Surely goodness and mercy.
If you start singing,
we just need to have an open forum tonight. You guys are very
what'd you say, 292?
Sharing tonight. What are you
going
to share?
What?
292.
All
right. Surely goodness and mercy.
I thought you
were
the wrong thing.
All right. Here we go. Verse 1. A pilgrim was I, and a wandering in the cold night of sin I did roam. When Jesus, the kind shepherd, found me, and now I am on my way home. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the day. Shall follow me all the days of my life. He restoreth my soul when I'm weary. He giveth me strength day by day. He leads me beside the still waters. He guards me step of the and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And when I walk through the dark lonesome valley, my Savior mansions he's gone to prepare. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Sing maybe one more.
Huh?
Oh, that thing gets me every time, dude. You want to try it? It's really high.
I just seen it. Well, I started singing it after.
Went right past that.
After the first verse, I started to sing. I was like, maybe a minute till the final chorus.
Yeah, it's rough.
Not the smartest one.
Turn over to 318. 318. I need thee every hour. I need thee every hour.
For Alex
the Christ, not we promise thee.
That'd be great.
All right. What a true statement here. I need thee every hour. Here we go, 318.
I need thee every hour, most gracious Lord. No tender voice like thine. My Savior, I come. their power. When thou art nigh, I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior, I come to thee. I need thee every hour. Enjoy your pain. Come quickly and abide, or life is vain. I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come to thee. I need thee every hour, most holy one. Oh, make me thine indeed, thou blessed Son. I need thee, oh, I need thee. Hour I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come to thee. I need thee every hour.
That was just how we ended. I was just thinking, I tried to start like the chorus again, but that was like more so the verse. Sorry, guys. Way to follow, though. What's our last one going to be?
Random one.
I'll do random. Give me something you want.
We're gonna do this. We're gonna do.
Caleb wants 209. I like that. 209.
No, that works.
Caleb, why'd you like this one?
Yeah, Caleb.
It's a good one.
It is a good one.
Like Caleb solo.
Yeah, Caleb wants to solo.
That's fine.
You can do that.
No. I
don't
know this one.
You know this one?
I was in choir unwillingly.
Right, was it the elementary school choir?
No, nah, it was actually a Heritage Middle School.
Unwillingly. They didn't force you to do that.
My mom did.
Oh.
I wasn't talking about the school.
That'll do it.
Well, I was going to say, I dropped out after fifth grade.
Oh, I was in their first
and
semester.
And then I joined high school.
I was in their first semester, seventh, and then, like, second semester, seventh, I jumped out of there and went to the special tech class.
Give me what you learned here. Grace greater than our sin, 209. Marvelous grace, first verse. Here we go.
Marvelous grace of our loving Lord, grace that exceeds our sin and our guilt. Yonder on Calvary's mount outpoured, there where the blood of the Lamb was spilled. Marvelous grace, infinite grace, grace that will pardon and cleanse within. Marvelous grace, infinite grace, grace that is greater than all our sin. Sin and despair like the sea waves hold, threaten the soul with infinite loss. Grace that is greater, yes, grace untold, points to the refuge, the mighty cross. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that will pardon and cleanse within. Grace, grace, God's grace. Dark is the stain that I cannot hide. Oh, what can avail to wash it away? Look, there is flowing a crimson tide. Whiter than snow you may be today. God's marvelous grace. receive God's grace, infinite grace, grace that will pardon and cleanse him. Marvelous grace, infinite grace, grace that is greater than all our sin. God's marvelous grace, infinite grace, grace that will pardon and cleanse within. God's marvelous grace, infinite grace, grace that is greater than all our sin.
But it's now turn to the book of Ephesians. The book of Ephesians, chapter 4. Someday the silver cord will break, and I no more as now shall sing. But oh, the joy when I awake within the palace of the King. Someday my earthly house will fall. I cannot tell how soon 'twill be, but this I know, my all in all has now a place in heaven for me. Someday when sets earth's golden sun beneath the rosy tinted west, my blessed Lord will say, well done, and I shall enter into rest. And someday till then I'll watch and wait, my lamps all trimmed and burning bright, that when my Savior opes the gate, my soul to him will take its flight. Then I shall see him face to face and tell the story, saved by grace. Then I shall see him face to face and tell the story, saved by grace. Then I shall see him face to face and tell the story, saved by grace. Then I shall see him face to face and tell the story, saved by grace.
Who knows what the purpose of the church is for? Or what do you think your friends at school might think the purpose of the church is?
The purpose of the church.
Huh?
I said, I hope you assume I have friends.
Assuming you have friends, yes. Ethan, what's up? What do you think?
You said what our friends would think?
Yeah, like what is the purpose of the church or church in general? Like what do they think it's
like,
for?
What do we think it is or they?
You can do what you think or what they think. What do you think your friends think it is?
I would say what they think is to learn about God and to group together.
So like a community where you guys can you all believe the same thing, can like support each other, like different group to join.
I've only gotten one positive response or one positive outcome of what my friends think about church.
Okay.
Which is basically what Ethan said of like people gathering together and learning about God. The rest have been just completely negative, like you lie or you it's a cult and like stuff like that.
A bunch of hypocrites getting together trying to make themselves feel like they're better than other people or
something
like that.
Like oh you're like I got told one time and it wasn't even of course not my friends but like I got told one time this person was like oh you're gonna try to tell me about a lie and about what happens when I die, and I'm like well I wouldn't be lying but. Yeah, one kid literally told me, they were like, oh no, all churches, they're just big cults, and I'm like, we're not making sacrifices here.
Well, we should be. We should be making some sacrifices. But no, I got this. I know what you mean. Okay, what are you going
to say? I was just going to say, according to Ephesians 4:12, it's for the perfecting of the saints.
Boom! So Caleb said, look at this guy trying to steal the lesson here. All right, very good. So, very good. We're coming out of Ephesians 4, so Caleb thought, why not look down and see? And boom! Did you have to look down and look at that, or did you like already know in your mind? Like
I remembered the verse and just
forgot. Okay, very good. Very, very good. Xavier, Jay, you guys got anything to add to that? Elaine, you've grown up in church most of your life, right?
Yeah.
What's your perception of it? What do you think most of your friends think church is for?
Kind of like what Bryce and Ethan were saying, how it's like for everyone to like join together, to be together to learn about God.
Okay.
But for me, I think it's like not only gathering together to be with other believers, but also to be with other people to help you grow and to get better, because you can't, it's easier to do it when you're with other people than it is for you to be by yourself.
Awesome. Ethan?
For me, I think church is a place where we can get away from the world and just come together with a bunch of people that believe the same thing as you. And like the verse says, that will perfect you and point you out if you're doing something wrong or if you need help with something. So it's just a way for us to meet and perfect each other.
I like that. What's up, Bryson?
For me, personally, I feel like church is my way to get a positive smack in the face, if that makes sense. Like,
sure.
I mean, like, I go to school and stuff, but I mean, like, I get hit in the face with the same comments by the same people, you know, just like, you know, your typical, I'm not going to say bullies, but bullies, if you want to say that. Like, people, I just get told the same things all the time by the same people. Oh, you talk too much. Oh, you know, you look like this. Oh, you do this. And it's, that's not like that. But when I go to church, I feel like I get a positive smack in the face. Like, someone, like, I feel like the people here are not trying to bring me down, but tell me what I'm doing wrong to bring me up.
Okay.
So, personally, I feel like church is a place where, again, I can get that positive smack in the face and I can be held accountable with the things that need to be held accountable, not just for who I am.
It's like constructive criticism.
Yeah,
like
the
better self.
You know, I go to school and, you know, I get the criticism that isn't going to benefit me later, you know.
Okay.
But, you know, just by the person I am. But when I come to church, I feel like I'm getting something that's going to affect my life.
For sure. Kenzie Lee, did you have anything to add as far as what you think church is or like how your concept of it?
I think it's a place for people to gather to be, you know, together that we can all be, you know, yoked equally and not, you know, unequally yoked with, you know, people being, you know, in your battlefield of like with school, you're unequally yoked with the people of the world and then the believers. And I just think, I know that like our bodies technically, you know, the church, you know, we're taking it to witness to people. But I just think it's a more of like a safe place to come and gather with other believers.
Nice. Like base camp for a Christian. Like you're behind the walls, you got protection, you know what people think, you know, over here.
You can say something to someone and not worry about it being gossip or something that you this is the only place personally that I can come to and open up about things that I couldn't open up to anyone about.
Dang. Okay. So almost like a counseling spot too. Sounds like, you know, safe
space.
And
it's not. And I get it. And I say that as like this is the only place I can open up. It's the only place I can open up where I know I'm going to get answers biblically.
Oh, okay.
And not necessarily just a, oh, it's going to be okay. Oh, we're going to get.
Yeah, because there's positive things like on social media, right? I mean, aren't there like tons of life coaches and stuff like that, and positive pages is about like good affirmations and positivity and stuff like that. Absolutely, for sure. Here's a question. Is this a church? Okay, so we Old Paths Baptist Church is a church, all right? We'll take that. Why? Here's a question. Do you guys feel like this church is growing as fast as some other churches are? Why isn't this church as big as, let's say, Abundant Life or First Baptist or, okay, Ethan?
Because churches like that, like, I think it was like...
Because now we're getting into the differences of churches now. We all talked about a general idea of what churches are. Now we're going to get to some fine stuff like, okay, what makes churches different? So go ahead, Ethan.
I think like, what was it, Sunday, Bob was talking about like Abundant Life and all those other churches will appeal to your flesh and like what your flesh wants to hear. And like this church, like Bob, I don't want to be like, he's not nice to your flesh. He will hammer it down on you.
Okay.
So, like, that's probably why, like, some people don't like that. So they'll even go lie, like, on Facebook, people will be hating on us for that. So.
You seen that? Hey, Caleb?
Churches like this are growing more spiritually than physically.
Very good.
It's more about quality than quantity.
So do you think like people are more interested in just like physical gains instead of spiritual gains then? Why is that? Why would you think they're more interested in that?
Because like you said, it appeals to their flesh.
Okay, it appeals to your flesh. Let's go ahead, Kenzie. You might be in it, huh?
I think that like we're getting more than the other bigger churches because the bigger churches are more of like a, oh, it's all your emotions, you know, touchy-feely, you know, kumbaya churches. And like Ethan said, Bob hammers it down. And he's not, you know, oh, I'm sorry if I hurt your feelings. No,
yeah.
It's not.
That's kind of the culture
today,
right?
That's not the way that the Bible's supposed to be. It's not supposed to be, you know, based on your emotions. There's a verse that says it's, I forget where it is, but it's not based on your emotions. You
okay.
It's kind of like a thing where it's, what is the principle? Reacting versus responding.
That's a good principle.
Like that,
yeah.
Yeah.
Very good. Very good. Elena.
Your emotions and not.
My bad, I didn't cut you off.
And it's more on your emotions, not what it's supposed to be.
Okay. So we're like, we operate off of facts. You know, we put faith in the facts, and then we take whatever feelings come from with that. Type of deal. I like that. What's up, Elena?
Like what Kenzie was saying, if everything, like if the big churches is what you want to hear, and Bob kind of goes like, no, this is what the Word of God says, and this is what's like going to happen or what has happened. But all these other churches try to say, oh, because of this, I think this. And my English teacher would say, you don't decide the meaning the author does because they wrote it. And so all these churches are trying to make their own meanings out of what the Bible says. But it's like, no, it's right here. You can't change it. And I also think, like, I went to my cousin's church for his baptism. And it was like a 20-minute message. It was with four baptisms. It was 40 minutes in total. And it was like 10 minutes of him actually talking. He used one verse, and it was like a devotion. I'm like, I do that in like 5 minutes at school for Proverbs. Like, this is not a message.
Right.
So they're kind of trying to make it look easy, too. Because, like, other churches, like, they have like 20 minutes of singing, 10 minutes of a lesson, then you're out.
Okay.
They try to make it seem like you can have this relationship without having to do anything. And it's like this easy thing.
Dang.
It's like the appealing to flesh thing. So it's like trying to make it everything, like it's paradise to do this, but there are hardships that come with it.
That's some good stuff. Go ahead, I'll let you go real quick.
I'm going to answer your question directly. You asked if our church is growing bigger than other churches, and I can personally tell you no.
Mm-hmm.
There's so many other different churches that are not like this one. And I can tell you the one thing that this church doesn't have that all those churches do have. It's a band.
Yeah.
It's modern music. It's smoke machines and lights and big stage and pump you up 15 minutes before the service, give you about 10 minutes of the service, and then they say, hey guys, we're gonna have a feast out in the in our field, you know, we're gonna supply you with food and everything, you know, we're just gonna hang out, get your food and things like that, you know. We do eat and everything, but it's like we do it for the fellowship and things like that. They're just like, yeah, here's some food, you know, like since you sat through us for 10 minutes, you know, and all these things. Here's your food, but also you have to pay for it. You think of it like this. You see our church. You know how old our church is. You remember the church that we were going to beforehand, or the building that we were in beforehand. You see how it's not all retrofitted and all modernized. You look at our church now. Our church is from, like, I remember, what was it, like, Civil War or something like that? I don't know.
Yeah, I think so.
Our church is so old and stuff like that. It's not modernized. You go to these other churches and they've got the tinted windows, the modernized lights, you know, the guests, the space, because they're expecting hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people to show up. So you get these big churches with these big signs and these big everything, and they put money into billboards just to get you to go to your church.
Well, let me ask you this, because I mean, now you guys are starting to worry me, because I'm worried that you guys don't want to bring people in. Like, you guys are okay with being like your own little isolated community where people... I mean, because now you guys are scaring me. Are we moving towards, like, the Amish now? Like, we just want to be all about what we're about, and if you don't like it, like, isn't the church's job to, like, bring in as many people as possible? So, like, what's up with that? Like, should we change some things? Like, what's going on? Kenzie?
I just think that, like, certain churches attract certain people. So, like, I know there's a lot of Catholics out there. I went over to my friend Riley's house to help her, you know, get some things for sleeping over or whatever.
Is she, in a Catholic family?
Her grandpa, she listens to music through the Catholic stuff. She doesn't like the Catholic stuff. She said that she likes this church better because they're all, you know, united and we're not just, you know, all spread out and nobody knows anybody's names at that church. But I went to her house and her grandma's heavily Catholic. You see, you know, the crucifixes and you see alcohol all over the place. And I'm like, you know, that probably attract that crowd because, you know, they like to drink every Sunday.
Catholic, holic. There you go, boy. That's hilarious. Catholic. Yeah.
And they get to drink wine. They think it's okay. And so they're naturally going to go home and, you know, obviously drink. And it's these little
getting in the spirits.
Things,
yeah.
And I thought you were supposed to be religious or something.
Okay, hold on. Elena, we'll come back to you. Go ahead.
One thing is that, like what Kenzie was saying, like the different churches attract different people. I feel really bad. My grandmother is Catholic, and my dad grew up Catholic. And so when he first came to Bob, he was like, I don't like this. This is not what I've grown up with. I'm like, you've grown up with the milk, and like this is how you feel, and all like the clouds. And it's really bad. One of my friends, like this girl at my school, she has the ESV Bible. And I would go, and she would read it, because in history, she would do, like, a verse of the day, and our teacher would pick someone to read it, she'd read out of ESV, and I'm like, I want to burn that Bible so bad. It's like, hey, look, read, like, rainbows and sparkles. I'm like, that's not okay.
Oh, my God.
But I also think, like, maybe other churches are growing faster because the devil's trying to push them, because he knows that, okay, like, they're getting some of it, but they're getting it wrong or not all of it. So he's trying to put as many people as he can in a church so they can say, oh, I've done this, but they haven't done it as to their best ability.
Dang. Ethan, were you about to say something back there? I don't know. I saw somebody in the back. Go ahead, Bryce. No, go ahead.
How do I word this? So I wanted to answer your question because you said like, oh, what do we need to do? You know, so like, how do we get people here? I guess it's a personal thing. I feel like I need to be taught, and that it varies for everyone in this room. I feel like I need to be taught directly. You know, how do I respectfully first talk to somebody about church without offending them? Well, I shouldn't say offending them. How do I say it? Like, how do I respectfully putting them down about their own beliefs. How do I respectfully? Because I personally, I'm not going to look at somebody and tell them that they're going to go to hell, you know? I'm going to be like, this is what's going to happen, and if you don't do this, you can go to hell. And if they decide to come to our church, that's where Bob will come in and be like, you know, if you don't do this, you know, because Bob's going to hammer anyone down. It doesn't matter who you are. I feel like personally, I need to be shown how to respectfully speak to somebody about church and about what we do here without being like any other church that's just going to shove it down your throat, tell you you're wrong, this is how this is supposed to be, there's no other way, and if any other church says otherwise, they're wrong. And how do you respectfully tell somebody, this is what goes on in their church, this is what goes on in the Bible?
Gotcha.
Even personally, and I will say this in the gym, even if it's someone like me who still has problems with understanding.
Got you. So let me ask you guys this. I love that feedback. Beautiful stuff. We all got some very good input on that. The question that I wanted to raise in your minds and what I want you guys to think about when you come to church and why we do things the way that we do things is simply this. Is who is the church here for? What's it here for? Who is it actually serving?
Lost people.
See, that? There's the question. Is the church here to serve the world? Or is the church here to serve? Is it here to serve me, or is it here to serve God? All right, it's something we've got to consider, because you have these mega churches out here, and we make jokes about them because it's so obvious that they probably aren't serving God. Okay, they're all about, you know, doing whatever they need to do to stay relevant in the world. Whatever the latest trend is in the world, they're gonna bring that to the church so that they can keep their head count, they can keep the income coming in. It's just a business. It's pretty much just another, you know, secular organization or something like that with a spiritual name on it. Okay? But then the second one I said, is the church here to serve us? Because some of us, maybe we're just self-righteous. Maybe we just don't want to be like the people out there in the world. Or watch this. Maybe we do want to be like them, but we don't have guts to be like them. To be as backslidden because, like, we have too many Christian friends or we know too much Bible. We're kind of like the older brother. You guys know the story of the prodigal son? That there was one boy who was just like, I am what I am. I'm about to go out here and live it up, and I don't care what y'all think about it. And he goes and does it. And but then he gets broken while he's out there. He gets right with God and he comes back. But you remember, it wasn't just the story about one son. There were two boys in there, and there was the older brother that stayed at home, but he was upset. He was at home, but his heart was in the world. And so what he knew was, I've got to stay home and keep looking religious. I've got to make sure that everyone knows that I'm the better brother who never went out there into the world like the prodigal did and everything like that. But at the end of the day, the prodigal had a better testimony with the Lord. He got closer to the Lord, and he got more blessings from the Father than the older brother did because of where his heart attitude was. So then we got that second group of Christians that are just in good, quote-unquote, churches, not because they're actually trying to serve God, but the church itself just serves the Christian people. It's like a Christian club or something like that. It's like a Christian museum. They speak about all the great things of the old faith and stuff like that, but they're dead. They're as dead as the old faith, too. They're in the graveyard. There's no Holy Spirit of God moving through them because they're just about the deadness. But then the one I want to talk to you guys about today is I believe the Bible tells us is how the church is actually here for Jesus Christ, for God. What's another name for the church in the Bible? We call ourselves the church. What's some other names we call ourselves besides Christians? There's, okay, the letters are, okay, Caleb?
Body of Christ.
All right? So not just body of Christ, there's something else that we call ourselves. It's something we're looking forward to. Bob loves this song about the camel train. What's that all about? It's about there's gonna be a wedding, right?
I said
oh, she said body. I'm sorry, dude. I can't. See, it's that drone. I told you it's going to get me. All right. So bride of Christ. Very good. Okay. Wow. If every Christian looked at themselves as a bride of Christ, do you think their idea about what the church's job in this world is might change a little bit? Think about that. Ladies, if you had a husband. Guys, if you had a wife or a fiance. You're engaged to be married to someone. Okay. And at one time, they were out in the world. You didn't know them. They didn't know you. They were just living their life. But then all of a sudden, you guys' eyes, you know, matched each other. And all of a sudden, you had dove's eyes like they did. You had the same eyes. You saw things the same way. And all of a sudden, you fell in love like a picture of the Song of Solomon. And now all of a sudden, you guys have set up and you're saying, I want nobody else in the world but you. You're all I care about. And I'm going to be with you someday. And now you're engaged and you're looking forward to being married. Okay? Do you want that boyfriend or girlfriend or fiance, whether it's a boy or a girl, do you want them going back out into the world trying to look at how they can also keep all the other people they knew in their lives involved in their lives and loving them just like they did before they were attached to you? Do you want them going out there and trying to find ways to stay relevant with them, trying to find ways to make sure that the world still loves them just as much and that they can still be just as popular with the world? Or are you like, hey, forget about them. Didn't you say you want to forsake all for me? Till death do us part? Does that analogy kind of make sense for you guys about how God looks at the church versus how we look at the church? Absolutely. Most Christians nowadays look at the church as, what do we have to do to get more people in? Do we have to change our music? Do we have to come up with these new goofy programs that people like? Maybe we should start having a gambling ministry. Maybe we should start having a drinking ministry because, you know what? Whatever it takes to get them in, right? But what's your job? What's your purpose? Is it to bring the world in? Or is it to become something for your the one that you're betrothed to? The one that you're going to marry? When I read my Bible, keep your hand in Ephesians chapter 4, but come over to 2 Corinthians 6. And it's funny, some of you guys talked about this yoke thing. 2 Corinthians 6. 2 Corinthians 6, it says this, verse 14. It says, be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? What communion hath light with darkness? What concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? Wow. What fellowship hath light with darkness? What communion hath light with darkness? What fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? You know, when an unsaved person comes to the church, you know what they ought to experience? It should be cringy. It should be edgy. It shouldn't feel good. And they should be like, get me out of here as soon as I can go. One of my brothers, when they first came to our church, they hated it. They said, I never want to come back to this place. and check it out. They're actually saved. All right. If when an unsaved person that thinks homosexuality, that thinks all the crap that's happening out there in the world is okay, walks into your church and feels at home, yikes. Maybe your church isn't espoused, isn't engaged to the person they think they're engaged to. They think they're engaged to Jesus Christ, and really they're engaged to the devil. What's up?
What's an infidel?
You know what? I have a lot of layout on an infidel. So maybe next time we'll start out class on that. We'll talk about what an actual infidel is.
What's the primary definition of an infidel?
I don't have it off the top of my head. I got it in my Bible next to that verse. Because who likes to use infidel besides Christians? Who uses that word?
You know, if I knew it's the word, man, I could use it.
Yeah, well, who where have you seen that, like, in popular recent culture and stuff like
Never.
That?
Never.
Really?
Never.
Yeah,
the Muslims.
Okay, the Muslims, yeah. What? You never heard of, like, diet, all the infidels, okay? So check it out. So, infidels, there's three. So, when it talks about unbelievers, there's three types. This is getting away from the lesson, but we'll drop this on you real quick, and if we need to develop this later, we can. So, you got three types of unbelievers. Number one, you got an infidel, and that's all the unsaved. Over here in Jude chapter 1, there's only one chapter in Jude, but 22 through 23, let me see what this says. I'm kind of going off the cuff here, but hopefully this is good for you. This is funny, I was actually looking at this verse just a second ago. Alright, so watch this. The Lord must be, He's just directing this thing. Here we go. Jude chapter 1, verse 21 says this, and I'll pick it up in verse right before. It says, "But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost," watch this, "keep yourselves in love, in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life." And watch this, it says this, "And of some have compassion, making a difference, and others say with fear." Now, I got to touch on that real quick, because Bryson, one of the things you actually brought up, this is funny, you asked about infidel, and here we are in Jude, where it talks about how you actually reach out to people. There's two ways. The Bible says in verse 22, it says, "Of some have compassion, making a difference." So when it comes to reaching out to people and talking to them about church, some have been beaten up so terribly by the world, who have had nothing but a bad hand dealt to them all their life. The best way to minister to them is to show them someone that actually cares about them for a change. Someone that loves them. Someone that saw them in their worst condition, gave up everything that they had, and has come down here to rescue them. They need a deliverer. All right, that's Jesus Christ. And that's how you can witness to someone and present the gospel to them. Like, "Hey, man, I see you strung out here on drugs and nobody's giving you any type of attention. I see your family broken up and it seems like there's no hope. I see that everything that you try to do, it seems like it falls apart. Bro, there's a victory waiting for you. There's a deliverer in Jesus Christ." And you start preaching to them about Jesus Christ that way. But then there's others that are arrogant. And oftentimes, this is college campuses. This is like the heady and high-minded people that think that they're the greatest thing under the sun. The Bible says they're wise in their own conceit. They're oftentimes, you can't tell them anything. All right? The Bible says the best thing to do with them, they need a wake-up call. They don't need a deliverer. They need a train wreck. All right? So you can either show up as a first responder or as the thing that causes the accident in their life. So you got a different approach to that. And oftentimes, that's what people preach on the street are doing. They know they're not going to win anybody to Christ. They know that everyone's going to be pissed off by it. But they need to be saying things that are truth.
Isn't that what Markman was doing? He was doing like street preaching.
Yeah, there's a lot of Baptist churches that do it. We do it. We have a small group that does it. I've been out there with them and done it before. But yeah, it's a different approach though. The approach is, and the option behind though, excuse me, the motive behind that thing is not necessarily to win the person right there. It's the shock thing. It's like someone that's walking around drunk, and you want to throw cold water on them to get them to like sober up type of deal. Okay, so that's why if you're ever wondering, why does the Bible contradict itself? It says, "Of some have compassion because they need it." All right, making a difference. See, you're the first person to show them that in their life. You're the first person that has no relation to them that actually cares about them, and then they can see Jesus Christ that way, who was not related to us. He was perfect. He was righteous. He was sinless. Like that song I love to sing, "Jesus, Lover of My Soul." I love that verse that says, "False, I'm a liar. So false, full of sin I am. But thou art full of truth and grace." But then here's the other ones. The Bible says the others save with fear. With fear. You're supposed to scare the hell out of them. You're supposed to, you're supposed to tell them, "Hey!" And it's funny, especially at my job, this is how it is. Like, they'll be like, Wednesday. Oh, my. Oh, okay. Let's start with this. Is how it is. Monday, they have like a saying for every day. So, Monday. Monday. Oh, man. Here we are again. How you doing, man? Oh, you know how it is. It's Monday because they're upset. The weekend just ended. The best part of their life just ended. Here we are. It's Monday.
The best part of the world.
All right. Tuesday comes along. What do they say? Oh, another day in paradise. All right. That's what they say on Tuesdays usually. All right. It's like they're just waiting for the next weekend. So, Wednesday comes. Hey, it's hump day. What day is it at? It's hump day. They're like all clapping it up. They're excited about it. All right, Thursday comes along. Hey, Friday Eve, here we go. And then finally, TGIF, thank God it's Friday. That's how unsaved people live their lives. Waiting for the weekend, praying for it, begging God for it. What are you going to do when there's no more Fridays and you step out into eternity and something to hell, fire, and torture for the rest of your life?
Oh, it's Monday.
You can't get through a doggone five-day work week begging God for the weekend. What are you going to do when you're in eternity forever and nothing changes? That's pulling them out of the fire, saving them with fear. All right? Will they want to hear something like that? Usually when they say, oh man, thank God it's Friday. I say, yeah, two more days till Monday. All right? They hate to hear that, okay? But that's what I'm saying. It's like a shock to their system. Like, what the heck, man? Like, why would you say something like that? Because, bro, right now you're in paradise if you don't get saved. And you're up here acting like this is the worst thing you've ever experienced and all this junk like that. You have no idea what you're heading towards. Thank God it's Friday, but you're going somewhere where there's no more Fridays. All right? The Bible says, another saved with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. That just told you to hate the garment. Hate who they are. Hate what this is, this flesh. The garment spotted by the flesh. And oftentimes, you know, we think, well, we're supposed to love them. We're supposed to look out. That's love. Remember the verses leading up to that? It says, keep yourselves in the love of God. Then it started going into this stuff. What the Bible says over in Philippians, it says that your love should abound more and more in knowledge. All right? The truth of what love is, and in all judgment. Contrast between what the world calls love and what God calls love. So anyway, infidel. That is a picture of an infidel. That's how you approach an infidel right there. Garment spotted by the flesh. I got to go back and look. I was expecting to see the word infidel in here. Sorry, but I had that reference next to this. So the next two, let me give you those. So the next thing is an apostate. We're talking about three types of unbelievers. The first is an infidel. I had Jude 1:22-23. Oh, that's just an applicable verse to them. Acts 13:8-12. If you guys don't have that, that might go with infidel. It says Acts 13:8-12.
I lost the thing.
All right, you're not going to find the word in those verses, but it's the passages give you a description of like what that person is. So it's just all the unsaved.
Yeah.
The next one is an apostate. All right, so an apostate, they may or may not be saved, but they claim that they are. All right, so that's like. Or that could be a Roman Catholic. That could be a Jehovah's Witness. That could be a Church of Christ person, okay? Probably not saved, but they might be. A lot of people that are in those cults, Church of Christ, Jehovah's Witnesses, and stuff like that, they started out like in getting saved and in the right spot, but they never got the right doctrine. And then lastly, you got heretics. These are usually saved people that take the word of God and they teach a lie with it. All right? So those can also be some of those same groups. So
that's like a... We had our pastor at our life church, which, ironically enough, was Pastor Bob. We had an associate pastor, Elliot. And Elliot was at the church for probably about a year. And then he got a big old church gig down in Florida. Mm. So he moved to Florida to go to a bigger church.
Okay. Boom. You gotta go where the money is, I guess.
Oh, yeah.
Let me come back to what I originally started talking about and give you guys a little bow on this. So, what is the church for? We're married to Jesus. We're espoused to Jesus Christ. After rapture, that's what it's all about, guys. Right now in our lives, that's what we ought to be looking at ourselves as. We're trying to get ready for a wedding, all right? So we need to be getting cleaner. We need to be getting more and more clean. Bryson brought up earlier about how he had his old youth pastor that took, you know, brought his Xbox or somebody's Xbox. Probably wasn't
his. It was
his. Okay.
He was one of the leaders.
Okay, so he brought an Xbox and wanted to give a very vivid demonstration, and so he smashed that thing, he broke it. And he was like, you know, was that too much?
Okay, so maybe. I don't know. Who knows? Maybe that guy had a stronghold. He just needed to get rid of it. Other people can handle it better. There's no rule in the Bible that you can't have that stuff. That's kind of about what that lesson I gave you guys a couple weeks ago, about, are you doing what's written versus what's right? Sometimes it's easy just to follow the rules in the Bible because actually sometimes they're not that hard. Okay? And especially if you grow up. If you grow up and that's all you've known, it's not that hard. Just like the rich young ruler, just like Paul, just like Timothy. If you grow up in church, it's really not that hard to discipline yourselves to come to church and do this because this is all you know. But when God tells you to do something that's not written, but it is the right thing to do, can you still do it? So that's what I'm saying. That guy may have been in that position where he was like, this ain't written to smash your Xbox and you can't have video games, you can't have...
You just said it without even saying it because I didn't even consider the possibility, but it's like they're not even reading a KJV. They're reading NIVs and other translations.
Sure.
So I literally just thought about it and I'm not even sure because NIVs change all the time.
Sure. Yeah.
So I was like, wait, maybe in one of these verses, it's like, oh, yeah, you can't have
get thy next box and get it behind you. Yeah, I got you.
So I was like, you gave me the answer I needed, but I actually gave you the answer. But I was like, wait, that is my answer right there. They're reading a different translation that isn't right.
Yeah.
And he took the meaning that probably wasn't supposed to be meant that way on who knows what verse, and decided, hey, I'm going to go in front of a bunch of 10-year-olds and destroy my Xbox. So
that's funny.
Thank you for that.
That's actually a funny story. So anyway, what we got to be doing, guys, we got to be getting cleaner for the Lord. The Bible says in 1 John chapter 3, verse 3, he that hath this hope in himself, our hope is to get raptured out of here, is to get married to Jesus Christ, something like that. That's going to take place. We know that. But that's what excites us. That's what we look forward to. That's where our satisfaction is in. The Bible says, he that hath this hope in himself purifieth himself even as he is pure. It scares my flesh to think about it, but the closer and closer I get to the Lord and the older I get as a Christian, the more I grow spiritually, guys, the less I'm going to care about a lot of the stuff in the world that I really like right now. Even right now. And maybe you're thinking, dude, you've already given up so much, you're almost like a hermit, but not at all. It's this whole thing about transferring. What the devil gave me at birth, the stuff he got me, the meal, the diet that he got me on, and me transferring that to something better. Just like anybody here ever tried to like have a healthier diet, something like that?
Never.
If you, amen. If you try to like transfer, or if you try to like cut it off immediately and go right to that healthy diet, you're gonna revolt. Your body, you're gonna start drinking donuts instead of eating them. Okay, you're gonna like blend them up and then like pour syrup on them just to get them down more. All right, your body's gonna have a very adverse reaction to it. But if you take your time and you get honest, you're just like, you know what? I'm just going to cut off on junk food on Fridays. And then you say, I'm going to try 2 days a week of not eating junk food. Your body can handle that better. And that's oftentimes the same way that things work as a Christian. It's a steady, steady race. All right? It's the diligence. It's the day after day. It's not, dang, man, that boy preached a good message, whoever it was, and you know what? I'm about to get my life right now. And then you start, no, it doesn't really happen like that. But your heart can change immediately. And your heart can be committed and set on a course that never changes. Just like that. Just like salvation. You can get saved instantaneously, but you're growing in grace. You're growing in faith. That's a step-by-step, day-by-day type of thing. Anyway, let's close this thing out with this. What is the church for? Why is it here? Three things. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 12. Caleb already got us going on it. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 12. It says this, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, and for the edifying of the body of Christ. For the body of Christ. Now, technically, this is talking about why he gave us gifts and the offices that he set up in the church. But this all pertains to the church. This is how these offices are going to be utilized. They're going to be used to perfect people, to get the ministry done, and to edify the body of Christ. Now, watch this. Perfect starts with you. That's inside of you. The perfecting of the saints is this. I got saved, I get into a place where I realize, oh my gosh, I'm not what I need to be for God. And so I start going to work on myself, perfecting myself. Now, perfect doesn't mean sinless, but it means a completeness. That's why we sing that song, Complete in Thee. Complete in Thee, no work of mine may take, dear Lord, the place of Thine. Thy blood hath pardoned bought for me, and I shall stand, and I am now complete in Thee. So it's all about making up your mind that I'm going to become who Jesus Christ wants me to become. It's that verse I just quoted to you, 1 John 3:3. You got to purify yourself every day, more and more and more. You got to become more like Him and less like yourself. That's that process. It doesn't say for the perfects of the saints. Perfecting is an ongoing thing. Next, the work of the ministry. Once you change who you are and become who God wants you to be, He can use you to do something for Him. Okay? So, the first thing is you realize you're not what you ought to be, and you change to become someone, something for the Lord. Once you become something for the Lord, He can do something with you. That's the work of the ministry. All right? And lastly, for the edifying of the body of Christ. When each individual is not looking at the other people around them, but they're focused on themselves and becoming everything that they need to be for God, God starts to use them in the ministry to get stuff done. All right, that's a good testimony to the believers around you, and what it does, it encourages you. When I'm feeling backslidden or like I'm not doing too well or something like that, I got Jared and Kenzie up here that encourage me because they're doing what they ought to be doing with the Lord. That's the edifying of the body of Christ. Okay, so it starts with the individual, perfecting the saints. God sees you taking time to become something for Him, so now He can use you to do something for Him. All right, when you do that, now you're an encouragement to other believers. You encourage everyone around you. That's the edifying of the body of Christ. You guys see how that works out? Notice it said nothing about making new billboards, you know, getting smoke and mirrors and stuff like that, and rock bands to draw in more and more and more people. You know why? Because at the end of the day, the church is for Jesus Christ. It's His bride. And what we're doing is we're calling out a bride for Him from the world. We were a part of the world at one time, just like whoever you guys are going to marry one day. You don't know who they are, where they are right now. They're out there in the world. You have no idea where they're at. But all of a sudden, as you grow closer to the Lord, He draws them closer to you. That's what happened with us. Draw me near, 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 precious Lord. I need thee every hour, stuff like that, right? We got close to the Lord. He said, oh my gosh, I'm attracted to that. What makes Jesus Christ attracted to us? The fact that we're humble.
Just so beautiful.
Yeah, yeah. The fact that we're humble, number one. The fact that we think that, you know what? I don't deserve to be with you. I couldn't get into heaven with you unless you did something for me. Oh my gosh. This woman loves me. She thinks that she needs me. Well, that's awesome because I died for her. So then He draws us in. He makes us one with Him. All right? So what's our job right now? Let's get ready for our wedding. Let go of the stupid music that the world wants you to listen to. Let go of the goofy stuff that they're trying to get you involved in that Jesus Christ can't stand. You already did the right thing by getting saved, by saying, you know what, I need you. I can't make it out of here. I'm miserable without you. I need you in my life, Lord. All right. That's the moment, instantaneous thing that takes place. Now let's start doing the other thing, where we start perfecting ourselves, becoming more and more like Him. You know what? Each and every day, we ought to be looking better and better to Him, man. I'm not going to lie. When I was younger, I was so used to, you know, just having like a smorgasbord of people to look at and stuff like that. And I got married. I was like, oh my gosh, man, my wife is so beautiful. And I got scared because I was like, she's so beautiful now. But what's going to happen, Lord, in like 20, 30 years when we start getting older? Like, well, I still love her. Well, I still like her. Oh, my God. You know, getting all worried about stuff like that. Funny. Now all that stuff that I used to think I loved, that I thought was beauty, has kind of faded. And there's a brand new beauty God's given me that gets beautiful or more beautiful. She's still physically beautiful, but I'm just telling you, there's something God does. He switches something inside of you and your heart's right with that. Dude, that's the same thing Jesus Christ wants to do with you and Him. You thought He was beautiful when you saw yourself going to hell. And you're like, oh my God, I just don't want to burn forever. I don't want to burn. Lord, I know I'm a sinner. I don't want to go. But that thing kind of fades out. I mean, I'm still thankful for that, but there's a new beauty, man, that I get every day that I get into that book with Him. He's like, you thought that was beautiful, the fact that I was just your deliverer, I was your savior? No, no, no. Come over here in this book and get with me. Let me show you some true beauty that I can show you. So, that's all I got. Let's close out there. I think we're a little over, but hopefully you guys got something from that tonight. Thank you for your input.
Keep going.
So, let's pray, guys. Thank you, Lord. You're a lily in the valley, Lord. We're down here in this dark world and where the sunlight oftentimes doesn't get to. And we're even in a period of time in history called the nighttime because you're not here. But, Lord, I love the fact that you're still that beautiful lily, Lord, that somehow that sunlight breaks through the clouds and shines right on you. And you are the only thing that's truly beautiful down here, Lord. Everything else is corrupt. It's all going to fade. If it looks good, God, it's only because it's makeup on it. The moment that stuff gets hit with water and it splashes off, Lord, we can see the monster that's under it. So just help us to really cling to you. You know, help us not to fall for the false gold down here. Help us to stick to that which is true, Lord. And we'll see those things. Lord, please do that for these kids. Help them to see I wasn't lying, I wasn't exaggerating. If they really do work on becoming more of who you want them to be, Lord, you do have some special things you're going to show them and give them when they do that. And I'm sorry I wasn't, you know, closer to you to be able to articulate those things better. But I'm still set, Lord. I'm not going to give up. I'm going to keep getting better for you as long as you give me breath down here. And that's what it's all about, God. So I just thank you for your grace and mercy and just the opportunity to keep getting closer to you in this life. And, Lord, I just pray that we don't wait till we're in heaven to start living with you. That's the thing, Lord. Help us to know that we can do that right now. And we love you and thank you and pray and ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, guys. Take it easy. Enjoy that beautiful night out.
I'm gonna
take it hard.
I'm going to go.
Take it hard. Break a leg. Gonna go on what boat?